Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we're asking now, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, The Stages of the Cross, Part 2. The Stages of the Cross, Part 2. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 22, and we're going to read verses 39 through 42, and then we're going to have God have his way up here. Amen? Praise God. So let's go to the Word. And if you don't have your Bibles, it's right here on the screen. Praise God. And the Word of God reads, "Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. And nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.'" And so once again, let me reiterate what we spoke on last week to catch us up to station number 8, because we did the first 7 last week, amen? But this familiar verse of scripture, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." We all understand that this was a battle. After 3.5 years of ministry, Jesus did the miraculous. He fed 5,000 on a hill. He healed the blind that they would see again. He cleansed the lepers. He allowed the mute to speak again. He raised the dead. But after 3.5 years of ministry, the day would come where he would have to go to the cross. And as I mentioned in the prayer room this morning, every day as a believer, it's a battle. It's a battle. And there was a battle from the apprehension all the way to the crucifixion. There was a tremendous battle. The gates of hell came against the Lord Jesus Christ that very day. The gates of hell. But little did Satan know that once Jesus said, "It is finished," death, hell, and the grave was defeated that day. And as Jesus was on that cross, guess what? You and I were on his heart, his mind, his thoughts. He thought of us 2,000 years later, that I had to go to the cross for them. Not just for the present saints, but for the future saints, which is us. Praise God. He died that we would live again. See, he who knew no sin became sin, that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. And so God is the one who drew us through his loving kindness. You know, it is God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we know throughout our lives, we pray for those who are not born again. And we pray for them. God, have mercy. One of the things I've learned over these 32 years is never judge a person, because God is the one that wears the robe. Can I get amen? Amen. You never know that last moment where God will come to him. Yes, and we may think that he's been a sinner all his life. Amen. And yet God will come to him. Can I get amen? Amen. That last moment, that's right. I'm telling you, you can never count God out. Don't ever count him out. He went to that cross. People counted him out. When he hung his head, said, "It is finished," he gave up his spirit. All them that were there, that eyewitnessed the account, they all said, Wow. They walked away in dismay. Some of them walked away depressed. Some of them joyful because they wanted him crucified. But I'm here to let us know that this last 8 or 7 stages we're going to talk about, it was a battle. It was a battle to get to the cross. But it was God's perfect will that it had to be. How many believe that it had to be? And I'll tell you why. Because if Jesus would have never gone to the cross, we would be men and women most miserable. Can I get amen? We would have no hope. We wouldn't even be here today worshiping the King. We're here because God has done a marvelous thing in our lives. He drew us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We can proclaim now. We can exalt the King. We can let people know that he is alive and well. How many believe that he's alive and well? Oh, that's right. He's alive and well. And he's living in my soul. Can I get amen? The day I got saved, it was unspeakable joy and full of glory. How many of you remember that day when he came to you, when he delivered you, when he raised you up from your spiritual death and gave you life, eternal life? And now we can proclaim him every day. Listen, don't let one day go by without telling someone that Jesus loves them. Can I get amen? Because what we're going about to read again and be reminded, it was a horrible thing. Just imagine if you had only one son and he was chosen to die on a cross. Wow. That would be really hard to fathom. And Jesus knew no sin, became sin that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. So just imagine how the Father couldn't look upon the cross. He had to turn. Why? Because God had to impute our sins upon him as a sacrifice that once and for all, we can have eternal life. And how many can't wait for the new change to come? Amen. Amen. The Bible says we're going to be changed and we're going to be like him. And we're going to be caught up in the clouds to meet him. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Amen. So let's recap. The first 7 stages was the first station of the cross. Jesus was on the Mount of Olives. Matter of fact, there's something special about the Mount of Olives. I believe Sister Catherine's been there many times. We've been there several times. And some beautiful things have happened on the Mount of Olives. One of the things, when we go to Israel, we'll get on this mountain peak. And it's someone's home that allows the churches to go to their backyard, and we can see the Temple Mount from across. And we see the Kidron Valley in the bottom. And we see the Eastern Gate sealed up because the Muslims sealed it up, and they put graves there intentionally, like if that's going to stop Jesus. When Jesus comes, he's going to bust that down. Can I get an amen? And so the Mount of Olives is also where the Olivet Discourse took place. And that's where Matthew 24 was birthed regarding the end times, the times that I truly believe are converging in our generation. The Bible says that when Israel became a nation in 1948, that's when the clock started ticking. So now we gotta say, okay, Lord, everything's taking place just like you said it would. Within the last 10 years, there have been more earthquakes recorded in the history of the world than ever before. There is pestilence all over the world. We're still going through, 3 years of COVID? That's a pestilence. And then there would be famines, and there are still third world countries that are starving. In Iran and China, there's underground born-again believers, underground churches, that when they find them, they brutally murder them in public. So we are living in a generation that Jesus said these would be perilous times, but yet for the church, glorious times. Can I get an amen? Why? Because the king is soon to come. How many want the king to come? Amen. Amen. Unless you love this body that's fallen apart. I want that new body. I want to be 60 pounds lighter, and hopefully there's hair on that new body. I'm asking God, tailor make it for me, God. You do a better job than me. Praise God. And then the second station was Jesus was betrayed by Judas. Now, Judas, please don't name your child Judas, please. But Judas was one of the 12. And he gave him up for mammon, for money. I know some people, I won't share their names. They moved out to Vegas, and now they're homeless. They lost their home, lost everything, because they gave the devil all the money. That's the same spirit. And it was a little too late after he threw it back, after Judas threw the money back. It was too late. They already apprehended him, and it was already in motion. And as we know, it was an illegal court. They apprehended him at night. Courts were closed. Then the third station was Jesus is condemned by the Sanhedrin. I shared with you last week, I just touched on it. Jesus lived for the people. He ministered to the people. The book of John says he came to seek and save which was lost. And he didn't come for those who were prideful. He came for those who were humble, that saw the need, that they needed a savior. And the one set of people that gave him the most horrible times were the religious folks. The Sanhedrin, the scribes, the Pharisees. And, you know, how many believe that Jesus got angry? Yes, he's love. Yes, yes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. We get that. We understand that. He loved. He came because he loves. But the one set of people he had an issue with were the religious folks. Because the scribes missed it. The scribes totally missed. The scribes were the ones that were to dictate as they saw things taking place, as they saw things transpiring. You know, a lot of the scribes, they wrote down a lot of the prophetic things like Isaiah, like Jeremiah, like Ezekiel. Those scribes wrote it down so that we could have an understanding today. But when Jesus came on the scene, they put their pen down. So the apostles, one of them was a Gentile, had to pick up the pen and write it down. He had an issue with the religious organizations of the day. He called them vipers of snakes. He said that they were washed in whitewashed tombs. And he said what was going to be the day when their life would be over, they would see hellfire. Read the Gospels. Those what came out of Jesus' mouth. Thank God he had mercy on us. Thank God he drew us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Thank God that when we mocked him, when we ridiculed him, when out of ignorance, we didn't have a clue who he was in our life until he drew us to the cross through his loving kindness and his tender mercies. Aren't you so blessed that he didn't stamp you out like a roach? I'm done with you. Next. Praise God. And I've seen many roaches in my day. Number four, Peter denies Jesus. He denied him. Jesus said before the cock crowed, he would deny him three times. Now, just as a reminder, if you did a Hebraic study on this, our tour guide Ido told us when we were there on the Temple Mount, he goes, you know, when you read the Gospels, it talks about before the cock crowed three times. Number one, you'll never find chickens or roosters anywhere on the Temple Mount because it's an unclean animal to them. So what was he referring to? It was the one that would wake up before dawn. He would be the town crier. He would be reading the scroll. He was the cock that crowed. He would announce that new day. But see, in English, we miss that. We think it's a rooster that cock-a-doodle-doo three times. They're nowhere found on the Temple Mount. It's an unclean animal. So you have to understand sometimes you have to just peel back scriptures and you got to go to the Hebraic root to really try to understand the full meaning. And so the fifth station, Jesus was judged by Pontius Pilate. And he found no fault in him. He kept passing him up. He was passing the buck to someone. I go, how can I condemn him? He's done nothing. And yet the religious folks wanted him dead. Boy, if that was a spiritual battle, I don't know what it was. And then number six, Jesus is scourged and crowned with thorns. They blindfolded him. They blindfolded him. And then they were kicking him, punching him. And he didn't know where the direction those punches and kicks were coming. And yet, he did it for us. He did it for us. Praise God. Praise God. So, number seven is Jesus takes up his cross. And I believe that's where we left off last week. He picked up his cross. Now, as a reminder, when you go to the Temple Mount in modern day Israel, there is a street called Via Dolorosa. And a tour guide, he'll take you down there. Look at this. It's called the Via Dolorosa. Once again, here's a shot there. And you see those crosses there? A lot of pilgrims from around the world, they come and they pick up their cross. And they'll do a reenactment. Here's another shot here. It's a long journey coming down from the Mount of Olives into the Temple Mount. It's a journey. It's a long journey. And just imagine Jesus had to carry that heavy cross as he was being whipped and beaten and scourged and mocked for no reason. But just remember, he did it for us. He did it for those at that time. Praise God. Here's another little photo there. So let's go now. The eighth station. Simon of Cyrene helps Jesus carry his cross. This is found in Luke. Let's go to Luke. Luke 23, 26 through 27. And the word of God reads, now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might, what? Bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, women who also mourned and lamented. This was an atrocious time. This was a sight before them they could not comprehend. For 3.5 years he was with them. He ministered to them. He blessed them. He raised the dead. John wrote in the book of John that there were so many books about Jesus, they couldn't contain them, all the things that he did. There was just so much that he did that it was not written in Scripture, but there would be books that couldn't, it would be beyond our comprehension on the things he did. Guess what? He's going to share them with us when we see him. How many can't wait to know those stories? How many of you can't wait to meet Paul and Peter and John? Our forefathers in the faith, they're going to be there, and we're going to greet them. Can I get an amen? Amen. So Saint Simon of Cyrene might be considered a victim of circumstance, but he wasn't. It was all ordained by God. Can I get an amen? Amen. He had most likely come to Jerusalem for the Passover festivities. Now, I need you to catch this, because next week, we all know we celebrate Easter, right? But this is the first time in a long time that the feast of Passover is one day before Easter Sunday. Usually they're far apart, because we're on the Gregorian calendar. We're not on the Hebrew calendar. But they're very close. And we're going to see next week how strategically, how God intended, appointed, it was a divine appointment that Jesus would be crucified on Passover. And so, we know very little about Simon of Cyrene, since he's not mentioned only but this one time, who helped Jesus carry that cross. But look what King David wrote right up here in Psalms 98:3. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Now, I pulled this photo. You could find them anywhere. But it's right up here. So this is just an actor. We all know that. But this man helped Jesus. Just imagine, he's already in heaven with God. Just imagine how blessed the Father was when this man went into heaven that helped the Lord Jesus. Let me just say this. Whatever you do for Christ on this earth, that's what is going to last into eternity. Can I get amen? Listen, we can build castles here. We can have all the accolades. We can have all the achievements, the awards. We can put ourselves on top of mountains. But according to the Word of God, it's all but a dunghill. I'm using King James vernacular. Dunghill. You check out what dung is. It's worthless. But what we do for Jesus, that's what's going to go into eternity. Can I get amen? Amen? Listen, when you go and pray for the sick, when you feed the hungry, when you visit those that are incarcerated, when you lead someone to Christ or you share someone about Jesus, those are the things that matter most to God. Can I get amen? Yes. He's given us this valuable gift. It's called speech, our voice, our mouth, so that we would proclaim, so that we can bless, so that we can lift up, so that we can minister to those who are down and out. How many of you know people in your life right now that are down and out? Timothy, he explained it very well. Look at this. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Listen, there are things that we're going to go through, and we're going to suffer some things in life. But let me tell you, God will get the glory. We're not to murmur and complain. We're to say, nevertheless, Lord, let thy will be done. Allow me to go through this, because when I get to the other side of this trial, of this tribulation, I'm going to glorify you and magnify you for your delivering power. Can I get amen? God doesn't want us to murmur and complain. We're good at that. We do it all by ourselves. It's natural. No one has to teach us that. No, we don't. Ask my wife. I'm always calling her. But she reminds me that we serve a mighty God. And listen, even though if you do get the call, pray with them. Don't laugh at them. Pray with them. Say, come on, let's pray. This is an opportune time to pray. Ask God. Let's see what God's going to do. We are going to suffer some things. Right now, we're suffering loss. You know our sister Martha that usually sits right there? She went on to be with Jesus last week. I went to her bedside and I was just crying out to God. And I was reminded, I heard God clearly speak to me. Don't weep for her. She's with me. Don't weep for her. And you will see her soon. My goodness. I had to be reminded. Because there are going to be loved ones in our life that are going to go through, and sometimes they'll depart from us. But just ask God to be the God of all comfort, to comfort your heart, to comfort your life, to know that it's God's perfect will. How many believe there's no mistakes with God? No mistakes. Let's go back here. Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So before God spoke everything into his existence, he already knew our name. Before we were conceived in our mother's womb, he already knew us. This is the mind of God that is so beyond us. His thoughts are higher than ours. You know, we got these little pea brains down here. We can't even remember what we did yesterday at 3:15 in the afternoon. Can you recall that? What did you do at 3:15 yesterday? But God knows all things, and he's powerful. So let's move on to the next station. Number 9, Jesus meets the woman of Jerusalem. All of them were there. Let me just say this. You sisters, you all are very special to Jesus. Do you know they're the first ones that come to the tomb? Huh? They're the ones that prepared his body? My goodness. He loves the women. Why? Because they love to help. They love to minister. Who were the first ones that came running to him when he came to the town of Bethany? When their good friend Lazarus was dying. Did you know that Jesus purposely waited 4 days when they went and got him the first time? And the ones that greeted him were Martha and Mary. Jesus, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And yes, we know he could have just spoke the word and delivered him right there. But he set that all up. Did you know that God sets things up sometimes in our life? You got to realize sometimes he sets things up so that he would get all the glory and that he would not share none of the glory with you. They said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, shall never die. And then he asked him, do you believe this? Yes, Lord, we believe in the resurrection. What did he say? Where did you lay him? So he went to that tomb that they rolled. Lazarus was in there for 4 days. Now, they didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have embalming fluid. So this is why they had to oil them down and then wrap them in cloth. But after 4 days, the skin worms set in. And they start to eat away the body so it would deteriorate without refrigeration, without embalming. 4 days. So he purposely waited for 4 days. Why? Because Lazarus was dead. So he came up to that stone. These are all my notes, but God's telling me to go here. He came up to that stone. He said, take ye away the stone. They said, but Lord, he stinketh by now. How many things in our life stinks by now? How many times have Satan has come to you and said, it is all over? That situation stinks by now. How many times has he come and said, your daughter and your son that are caught up in drugs, or your spouse who has left you, it is stinketh by now? Jesus said, take away the stone. And he went in there and said, Lazarus, come forth. You see, there are going to be times when it looks like it's all done. It's like, put a nail in it. But Jesus said, come forth. Notice he called Lazarus by name. If he would have just went in there and said, come forth, all of them would have got up. I need you to catch this, because we were like Lazarus. We were all dead. We were all spiritually dead. We were alive walking around in this body, but spiritually dead, until Jesus said, angel, come forth. Andre, come forth. Josie, come forth. Amen. We were dead, weren't we? That was a bleak situation. And he got up, and they were like, oh my God. It was an oh my gosh moment. Man, if I was there, I'd get my iPhone, man. Post it up. Look, he got up. He did the miraculous, and Jesus still does the miraculous in our life. Can I get amen? Amen. Never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? For it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to us Gentiles. Amen. Paul was persecuted. He went through trials and tribulations. He was tossed out of a second-story home. He was beaten with steel rods. He was robbed and mugged. He was bit by a snake. He was shipwrecked. His own countrymen robbed him. And yet, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He still kept plugging away. And then when his life came to the very end, he said, I have finished the race. How many of you are in it to win it? We're in this thing to win it. Can I get amen? This is not the time to throw in a towel. This is not the time to drop the baton. The baton has been given to us for this generation to continue, to continue. Can I get amen? So we look at this ninth station, and we look at Luke. It says in verse 27, and a great multitude of the people followed him, and the woman also mourned and lamented. But Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Why? Because he was prophesying that the temple was going to be destroyed, and they were going to be scattered. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed. Look at verse 30 here. And then they began to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? Now, I know, and unless you do a study on the green wood and the dry, he was talking about himself. If they could do this to me, what about you? Jesus has all the power. He could have called down legions of angels and wiped them all out. But how about those who have no power? He was preparing them for what was about to come as he journeyed to the cross. Man, how many love Jesus? Come on, just take a time out and just say, Lord, we love you, God. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Jesus, we glorify you, God. Thank you, God, that we could be reminded of who you are and that we would never forget. When Jesus encountered the weeping woman, some of his disciples on his way to the crucifixion, he cautioned them that they should not weep for him, but that their concern should be for themselves, of course, because of what was coming. Even while suffering great pain and personal humiliation, Jesus' concern was not for himself, but it was for others. Just remember, every step with that cross was for you. It was for me. Every step. And it was a long, long trail. It was a long road to the crucifixion. Many, before the crucifixion, was going to experience eternal damnation. But he had to go to the cross. He had to go to the cross. Look what it says right up here in John. Look at this. In John 18:36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." See, this is why the Sanhedrin, the religious folks, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, why do they want him crucified? Did you ever ask yourself that? Because they thought that Jesus was coming to overthrow their religious organization. And so he was a threat to them. He was a threat to the religious organization. And let me just say this, so are we. We are a threat to the religious organization. There's churches, man, that have so many rules and regulations. If you don't meet one, oh, I don't know if that brother or sister saved. My goodness. I've seen this happen before. This young kid, surfer kid, just got saved. Filled with the Spirit of God. He walked into a church. He had flip-flops and shorts, man. I mean, this is him. They wanted to escort him out. Because he didn't have a suit on. I seen it with my own eyes. God frowns on religious folks. Thank God that we cannot read each other's heart. Can I get an amen? Because the moment you could read my heart, I'll be running out that door. And I'll beat you to the door. Oh, from here on, I got a good start. Bam, I'm gone. Just imagine if God put all of our sins on that screen, one by one. What we thought of yesterday, this morning, what we thought of last week, what we did in darkness. And yet his grace is still upon us. His love is mercy. He came to die for that. And it's not so much what we do, it's what he done for us at the cross. He did it all at the cross. And so when you fall in love with him, now you learn the sanctification process because you love him, not because you have to, that because you got these do's and don'ts now. It's because when you fall in love with him, then you want to please him. Can I get amen? Amen. Don't you please your wife and your husband? You should, because you love them. No differently, we fall in love with Jesus. And now the things that we see that are an offense to him, they should be an offense to us now, right? Without someone putting a finger in your hand. Because the moment you do that, there's three looking right back at you. Let's go to the 10th station. Jesus is crucified. He got there now. Look at this. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Remember we talked about a couple of weeks ago the seven utterances on the cross? That was the first thing that came out of his mouth while he hung on the cross. Just imagine if he would have said, shame on you all. Father, send the legions now. No. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, this is the epitome. This is what Jesus and God is all about. It's about forgiveness and love and mercy. You see, in our sinful body, we've inherited through Adam. This sinfulness that we have is from Adam. Until we get the new body, we're going to be struggling with the spirit and the flesh. Can I get amen? We're going to struggle every day. It wars against one another. The spiritual man now that's born again wants to do right, but then the flesh says, nuh-uh. But God, I like that thing. Oh, come on. And sometimes we just do this. But everything is about learning to love God. It's about a love relationship with him. It's about a love affair with him. Because how many of you can honestly say that you fumbled the ball since you've been a Christian? All right, sister, let's look up here. I'm going to show you some things. Praise God. Now look at this in verse 35. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers were with them, sneered, saying, he saved others. Look at that. Let him save himself if he's the Christ, the chosen of God. See the mocking? The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him with sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Wow. You know, there's going to be people that come in our lives. I'm so glad you found God. You needed God. Yeah, I remember you. I'm glad. Yeah, you remember. It is what it is, isn't it? But they mocked him. And that sour wine wasn't basically, it's called gall. When we went to the garden tomb, the English tour guide there told us what gall was made out of. It was like aged, fermented fungus all in it, vinegar. That if you just took a sniff of it, you would gag. And that's what they put in his mouth because he was thirsty. My goodness. Look at verse 38. And an inscription also was written over in letters of Greek, Latin, Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals were hanged and blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? So here you have two criminals, one on the right, one on the left. That's the picture of the world. That was the first demonstration of humility and pride being demonstrated to the world. One accepted his punishment. He knew he did wrong and he deserved death. But the other one was mocking the whole thing. He goes, man, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. Total pride. That's why throughout Proverbs it talks about the prideful. Take heed lest you should fall. Look at this in verse 41. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, look at this. Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Can I just say this? The day that Jesus drew you to the cross, he spoke the same thing to you. You will be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Because we were all thieves on a cross. Can I get an amen? We were no different from these characters. Some of us just didn't get caught. You guys know my past. I mean, I've shared my testimony many times. I've always asked God this one thing. And of all the things that I got involved in my youth, in my young adulthood, I never got apprehended. I never got a ticket. Nothing. And I heard God say, my grace is sufficient. It could have been worse. I can't boast in that. I can only say, to God be the glory. And let me just say this. All of us that have been predestinated, all of us that have been foreordained by God, his hand has been upon us since conception. Can I get an amen? Amen. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when we were thrust out of our mother's womb, hallelujah, he was with us. And guess what? He didn't allow your life to be terminated during this course of years we've been walking. For me, 32 years. I don't know how long you've been walking. Some of you, maybe a year. But he didn't allow us to expire. Can I get amen? We're here to give him glory and honor and praise. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. And he says this. I believe it's in verse 42. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. Verse 45. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Wow. He had the authority to allow his spirit to go with God. Man. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. He demonstrated all the way to the very end humility, grace, mercy. He did not mock. He did not complain. He did not slander. There was no anger coming out of him. None of that. It was all humility that was personified by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Saints, it is difficult over 2,000 years after the fact to imagine the horror of the moment as the closest that were there with Jesus. Just imagine They were petrified, horrified. Just imagine what his own mother was thinking. And that we learned, huh? Before he went to the cross, remember on the seven utterances, he made sure, John, take care of her. He made sure before he checked out that everyone's needs would be met. You see, his loved ones, disciples, they didn't fully comprehend it yet. We can look back to look now in the present day. But at that time, they didn't have a comprehension. And for us today, look at this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Wow. Wow. You see, in the day we live in now we can look back to say this to those who are in need, to those who we would sow into their heart by faith, to those who we would exhort and to minister to. How many of you have ministered to certain individuals and yet you still see no change yet?
I have.
So in other words, God didn't hear you, right? No. In his time is not our time. We want something right now. That's why none of us ever make homemade popcorn. We just throw a bag in the microwave. I want it now. We don't wait to stir it on the pot with some butter and let it pop. Go ahead, have your microwave popcorn. 2 minutes later, it's like chewing on rubber. But salvation, right here, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There is no other way. How many believe that? There is no other way. Confucius. Allah. Muhammad. How many other ones are there? Yeah, Buddha, all them. Guess what? They're still in their graves. Their bones are still there. Can I get an amen? But Jesus is the one that rose again. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
He rose to give us life and life more abundantly. Thank you, God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Listen, we're going to go to right here. I went a little too quick. Jesus promises his kingdom to be to the believing thief. Look at this. He said, most assuredly I say to you, you'll be with me in prayer. We covered that, right? Let's go to Ephesians. Look at this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we're here because of God's grace. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And how many are so blessed he didn't leave you out there?
Amen.
He didn't allow us to be left in the miry clay. He found us just how we were. I came to him just like how I was back then, 32 years ago, lost without a cause. And he saved us. Can I get amen? He saved us. Thank you, God. We're going to move quickly now because I know some of you are going, man, it's time to eat. Station 12. Jesus on the cross speaks with his mother and his disciples. And look what he said. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by her, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took care of his own home. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? God took care of everything. Did you know that he's been taking care of you since birth?
Yes.
He blessed your parents to nurture you. That's right. We were never left abandoned, praise God. We were never neglected, praise God. God made sure that we would have food on our table, clothes on our back, and a roof over our head. That's the grace of God. Oh, yes, and some of us did struggle in life, but he never left us. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this right here. the 13th station. We got two more to cover, and then we'll be through. Praise God. The 13th, Jesus, he died on that cross. Look at this. Now, it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. Notice it was torn from the top to the bottom. That veil was so high, there was no one that could take scissors or a knife or a razor blade to that. God ripped it and said, "Now, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, come unto me." God opened that door for us. Before, it was just for the Jews. Now, God ripped that veil that we would have salvation. Can I get an amen? It was the blood of Jesus that he sprinkled on the mercy seat for you and I. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, at the moment of Jesus' death, the curtain in the temple which separated, it tore from the Holy of Holies. This was terrifying for all the Jews who witnessed the event. They were like, oh my gosh. Look what it says here in Mark. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed the last breath. Look at this. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two, top from bottom. So we need to understand this, saints of God. Paul wrote this in Hebrews. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Meaning we need to prophesy, we need to share, we need to proclaim, we need to let others know now that Jesus is alive. He has risen. He has risen. He has risen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He had to endure all the pain and suffering. Why? So that he would minister to us in our present day. Everything that you're going through, he went through on the cross. He had to come down and be like us so that we can identify with him on the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Look at this. For we do not have a high priest who could not sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that he had no sin? Let us therefore come boldly. You know, when you look at that word boldly, that means, guess what? Get out of my way. Nothing's going to stop me. Hallelujah. I don't care what's in my way. I'm coming to the throne room of grace. Hallelujah. I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to get my answer. I'm going to send up my petitions. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to glorify him. I'm going to magnify him. Hallelujah. Nothing's going to get in my way. Can I get amen? Amen. Come boldly to the throne room of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. This is where we can't have a pity party. Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. No. Come on. Rise up, saints of God. Rise up, saints of God. Rise up in the time that we live in. Let people know that Jesus is alive and well. Hallelujah. Let them know that he's still saving today. Let them know that God can deliver you from the guttermost to the uttermost. Can I get amen? There's nothing too hard for God. I hope you know that. There's nothing too hard for God. Let Jesus arise and let all his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And we close with this last stage. Jesus is laid in the tomb. He's laid in the tomb. Guess what? But the tomb couldn't hold him in. Can I get amen? That's right. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. Look at this right here. It says, "Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good, just man. He had not consented to their decision and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God." Look at this in verse 52. "This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one ever laid there before." Look at that. "That the day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew near. So before the sun was setting, before they took him into the tomb, they had to make sure those who were crucified, they had to be dead. This is why they pierced his side. They were about ready to break his knees, but he was dead. The other ones that were still holding on to their breath, they had to take like type of bats and break their knees so that they can have no strength to hold themselves up anymore, so that they would just basically strangle themselves. But not Jesus. Hallelujah. He shed his blood for you and I. Praise God. Now look at this. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that I may take him away, the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And so in closing, for those of you that have been here, that's the real garden tomb. Praise God. And when you walk into that little entrance right there, there's a big sign in there. He is not here. He has risen. Hallelujah. He was crucified on Golgotha's hill. And they called it the mountain of the skull. And so, I need you to just look at this right here. Here's another shot. But right on the very top, as you zero in, look at that face to the right. It's a face of a skull. And you go a little closer, there it is. That's the real geographical place. It's not in the Temple Mount where the Catholics believe that it was. What's the name of that church they said he was underneath? Yes. No, it's in the garden tomb out here. It was on top of Golgotha's hill, the face of a skull. Wow. Jesus' great sacrifice not only became the atonement for man's sins, but also became the victory that would defeat and overcome death, hell, and the grave. How many are so blessed? How many are so blessed to know that? And one of the most profound scriptures written for our day and time, found in the book of John, is this right up here. It should be coming up right now. Let's see. Yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Praise God. And that's what God has given us. That's what God has given us. Can I get amen? And I'm going to ask Brother Andre and maybe our sister Kedma come up as we close. You see, my friends, God's love and mercy are greatly demonstrated by the words of Jesus as he hung on that cross, amen, dying for us. You know, this morning, when you were worshiping the Lord, what I loved about it was because it was all about Jesus. And you didn't know what I was going to be talking about other than the songs just came together as we sung about our Savior. And God has put a song in our heart that goes into eternity. You see, Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. And it's sooner than we think. We're seeing all the chaos in the world, but God is saying, do not be fearful, for I have overcome the world. I want to reach out to these wonderful people on Facebook and YouTube right now. And if you're logged in for the first time, never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe God spoke to you this morning. Maybe you logged in because you Googled amazing and Amazing Grace came up. And now you're listening to this message and now God is speaking to you. I'm here to let you know that God has a mighty plan for you, that He loves you. He went to great lengths to die on a hideous cross for your sins and for our sins. And I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, bow your heart and your head with me. Cry out with a heart of repentance, and God will do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy?